So let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. The words from the psalmist. This is a psalm that's become really important to me during this season. And the reason it's important is because it reminds us that it's not about strength and weapons that victory comes. It is from the hand of God. Psalm 44. Our God, our ancestors told us what wonders you worked, and we listened carefully. You chased off the nations by causing them trouble with your powerful arm. Then you let our ancestors take over the land. Their strength and weapons were not what won the land and gave them victory. You loved them and fought with your powerful arm and your shining glory. You are my God and King, and you give the victory to the people of Jacob. So we join to sing, Christ be our light. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. We join together to pray. Let us pray. O God, you are the giver of manna in the wilderness, Christ, bread of life, who fed the 5,000, Holy Spirit of the living God, we come to be fed this day. Merciful God, we thank you that you are to be trusted, that you are faithful and provide for our needs. And when we feel alone, abandoned in the desert, that is where we meet you. In the wilderness of our lives, we can turn to you and know that you will sustain us. So we worship you, and we thank you that in you there is always hope. Forgive us when we have failed to trust you in all things. Forgive us when we have moaned and grumbled and complained that you have forsaken us and left us and abandoned us. Forgive us when we have chosen to go our own way and gone with our own planning and bright ideas, because your way doesn't seem to make sense. When we keep looking for more and more signs, more and more proof, more and more of everything, forgive us. Lord, we give you thanks that when we have not trusted you with our lives, and when we have walked away, when we turned, there you were, with everlasting arms, and we know that we are loved, and we know that we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sally, will you lead us now? Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I've got an object to show you today. It's a beautiful box, very shiny. And I want to show you this bit I really like. It's not quite as shiny on Zoom. My beautiful box, and I would like you to guess what, if anything, is inside my box. You can ask me questions in the chat function, but I can only answer yes or no. Okay, so I'm just gonna get myself into chat and see if you've got any questions, to see if you can work out. Catherine Trewee, can I eat it? Yeah. Yes. Chocolate. No. Although that, yeah. Is it sweets? I love the way you think that I eat really healthy things like that. It's not sweets. It's not banana. Presents, no. It's not presents, Rose. You can ask me some more questions to narrow it down. Is it something baked? Is it fresh air? It's not fresh air, Janine. No, I wouldn't do that to you. It is something that's baked, Teresa. Yes, it is. Is it vegetarian friendly? I think it is, actually. I think it said that. And yeah, I'm not sure it's vegan, but it's vegetarian friendly. I'll have to check the pack, actually. So it's something we can eat. It's baked. I think it's vegetarian friendly. Any other questions to narrow this down? Is it sweet? No, it's not sweet, Teresa and Vaughan. It's not sweet. Leslie. I think Leslie's wanting to wrap this talk up and get on with things. She knows the answer because she's seen the resources for today. One last question from Rose. Can we share? Yes, we can share, and that's what we will be doing. I'm going to open it up, the box, and I'm going to deliberately take my time. Unwrapping the present, and yes, it is a piece of, where's the drum roll? Do the drum roll yourselves at home. Da-da-da-da. It's bread. You're right, it's bread. Nothing special, although in a few moments, it will for me become the body of Christ. So it is kind of special. It is good to ask questions and be curious and to wonder. And also, obviously, we like to have answers too. And I wonder what questions you've asked already today, big questions or small questions, even before you came into this service. Today, we're looking at questions that Jesus was asked about bread. The crowd wanted him to produce more food, but Jesus said, I'm offering something even better. I'm offering you myself. I'm the bread of life. You'll never go hungry with me. And I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes that response leaves me with even more questions. Amen.
I'm sorry, I got carried away. I started joining in. What an idiot. I'm sorry. I didn't know the right answer, but oh dear Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Sally. So we have two readings. The first is from Exodus, which Catherine will read, and the second is from John, which Linda will read. That's the John reading is a continuation of what we had last week, the feeding of the 5,000. In Exodus, we have the very first story of feeding in the wilderness, which is the model of all subsequent stories. And then this hostility of the people, as we know.
There in the desert, they all complained to Moses and Aaron and said to them, we wish that the Lord had killed us in Egypt. There we could at least sit down and eat meat and as much other food as we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve us all to death. The Lord said to Moses, now I am going to make food rain down from the sky for all of you. The people must go out every day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I can test them to find out if they will follow my instructions. Moses said to Aaron, tell the whole community to come and stand before the Lord, because he has heard their complaints. As Aaron spoke to the whole community, they turned towards the desert, and suddenly the dazzling light of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the complaints of the Israelites. Tell them that at twilight they will have meat to eat, and in the morning they will have all the bread they want. Then they will know that I, the Lord, am their God." In the evening, a large flock of quails flew in, enough to cover the camp. And in the morning, there was dew all around the camp. When the dew evaporated, there was something thin and flaky on the surface of the desert. It was as delicate as frost. When the Israelites saw it, they didn't know what it was and asked each other, "What is it?" Moses said to them, "This is the food that the Lord has given you to eat."
When the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got into those boats and went to Capernaum looking for him. When the people found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Teacher, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you understood my miracles. Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because the God the Father has put his mark of approval on him." So they asked him, "What can we do in order to do what God wants us to do?" Jesus answered, "What God wants you to do is to believe in the one he has sent." They replied, "What miracle will you perform so that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, just as the scripture says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." "I'm telling you the truth," Jesus said. "What Moses gave you was not the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread that God gives is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they asked him, "give us this bread always." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty." Amen.
Warmest greetings to you from Kingston United Reformed Church, where I, Leslie Charlton, am one of the ministers. It's all very well watching a clip of a sermon, but what about developing as a disciple of Jesus? We can help you, let us know. The texts that I'm preaching from on this day are Exodus 16, verses 2 to 4, and then 9 to 15. And John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. In most congregations, you could talk about bread in spiritual terms and spiritualize the whole story. However, in our community, we have people who've lived in a country where the government was so neglectful, indeed you could say evil, that people literally starved to death. And for some people in our community, the North Korean famine is something that they know about. I therefore don't want to diminish the reality of actually needing physical food to keep you alive in my preaching this day. It's not something that most British people know anything about. Indeed, our battle is in the opposite direction, having to spend our days saying no to food stuff. It's not the same, not the same. It is wearing, it is a real battle, not the same. But having said all that, Jesus does use bread as a metaphor, a representation of who he is. So before this discussion, Jesus has just fed 5,000 people and walked on water, which sounds like quite a day, doesn't it? Or maybe it's just an ordinary day at the office if you happen to be the Son of God. Anyway, the feeding of the 5,000 has recently happened, and Jesus is explaining to the people what it means. He's trying to make it clear to them that it's not about filling their bellies. And when you hear this story or read this story, it's like people speaking to each other and in two different languages. The crowd are talking literally about bread, about food, and Jesus is talking about eternal things that will last forever. They are speaking Aramaic, and Jesus is singing the songs of heaven. When we speak of God, we have to use poetry and metaphor. We cannot speak literally because God is too big, too complex for that sort of narrow language. So what is Jesus saying by using bread? What does bread represent? Well, let your imagination go. You tell me. I would say, and this is not the right answer, this is my answer. Your answer might be much better. Well, I would say it's a link with the manna in the wilderness. I would say it's a substance that's essential for life, solid carbs. I would say for us and the writer of the Gospel according to John, it's about something about tipping your hat to Holy Communion. It's multi-layered. It's about letting your imagination run wild and linking things up. The people ask the question, and Jesus answers the question behind the question. And they speak of their history, and Jesus reminds them of the larger context of their history. Jesus is a man who loves and empowers the crowd and treats them like a bunch of adults, even when they are not behaving like them. Give us the rules. We need a tick list, they shout. What must we do to perform the works of God? How great it would be to have a list of what you had to do to do the works of God. And at the end of the day, you could say, right, that's it. I've done what God requires. I'm finished. I'm going down the pub. But that's not how it works. Because you go down the pub and there you do the works of God. Speaking as a woman who recently found herself explaining the synoptic problem in the Snug not that long ago. What must we do is so much easier than what must we be. We all know there are people who do things in a way that affirm us, and there are people who do things in such a way that we know is grudging and mean-spirited. To sort out what must we be question is a deeper and more complex piece of work. It requires life looked at in a totally different way. Jesus says, believe in him whom God has sent. The people change gear. They want a sign. They fail to see the sign that is straight in front of them. They ignore the blindingly obvious. Our capacity to ignore that which is right in front of our faces, to take people and situations for granted, is outstanding. We've all been there. And of course, it's a major issue for us as we reflect on what has changed and know what we've missed. Jesus talks to the people about a gift, and they want to talk to him about work. The idea of a gift is so foreign to us as it was then. We have the sense that we have to earn things, including the love of God. And that leads to bad behaviour of claiming to our glory for ourselves instead of pointing towards God. Why can't it be like it was in the times of Moses, the people say to Jesus? Moses gave us bread. No, he didn't, is the reply. God did. Moses and God communicated, and God told Moses what God was going to do. Rain down manna on the people, which they had to collect. Their instructions were to take just enough for the day, to trust that there would be bread tomorrow, that the one who provided yesterday would provide today and would provide tomorrow, food for the journey of living a life God would provide. The challenge for the people in the Exodus, in the time of Jesus and for us, is that we become obsessed with the stuff and we lose sight of the big things. We lose sight of the one who gives it, and that there are eternal things at play. Of course bread matters. It is a disgrace that there are people in Britain who are hungry, and of course much of that rolls back from the cost of housing. And one wonders, with the freer movement because of the use of broadband in terms of work, whether that will have an impact on housing in the southeast, which is a positive, but that will have to be balanced with the problem of housing further north. The people did not see the sign of the feeding of the 5,000 by Jesus. They didn't see it as a sign. They wanted a sign like the signs of the olden times when Moses was around. They remember the story of Moses and the manna, and they seem to be requesting something like that. They are looking to the past and failing to see that God is doing something astonishing right in front of their faces. And Jesus dissects the story and points them to the truth that the true giver is not Moses, the true giver is God. The true giving is not in the past, but for them, for us, in the present. The true bread is not the manna in the desert, but it is bread which came down from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ. In one way of reading their request, Lord, give us the bread, looking in the right direction. Unfortunately, it's looking for the wrong thing. They are focusing on the bread rather than the God who feeds them. This is a live challenge for us as we move out of our current situation into whatever is coming next. Lockdown into the new normal is what some would say. The temptation is to quickly put back things in place as they were, so that we can feel okay. That temptation will be enormous. But let's be clear. Any decision that we make in the next few months will have a question mark hanging over its head. Any group that we restart might not be the right one for the long term. But just for now, we have to see what's still going on. We know that God will always be there. And if God is God, then there will always be something new coming, a different way to do things. One thing that we are going to keep is prayers every day at 10. And we are going to get rid of the coffee mornings. We've already killed them off. Our aim is to keep our eyes on the one who feeds us rather than obsess about the food. Our eyes on the hand that is offering the gift rather than focusing in on the gift itself. God provided yesterday. God will provide tomorrow. It is that God is creative and the food will be different. Amen.
So let us pray. Lord, we come to you with all our cares and all our needs, trusting that you will provide for us. Teach us to listen to your voice so that our wills join with yours, so that our asking becomes harmonious with what you want for us. Lord, we hold up our world before you. The famine that approaches 30 million people in this season. The new lockdowns that are having to happen in various areas of the world. The slowness of the vaccine rollout in many countries. And not until we are all vaccinated will any of us be safe. For those places in the world where COVID-19 is the least of their worries, there are wars, there are shortages. We bring our country to you this day. We hear the further spread of COVID-19, and even if the numbers infected are going down, we begin to wonder if there'll ever be an end to this pandemic. And we hear the news of young people being increasingly ill. So we hold up before you all those who are fearful. We hold up those who are bored and starting to do reckless things. And we hold up the rage that is simmering in our society. We pray for school children during this holiday season, for those who are anxious about exam results, those who are sad because they haven't been able to say a proper goodbye as they've left a school. And we pray particularly for those children for whom the holidays are long, because it means they will go hungry and it means they will live in fear of someone in their home. We pray for your church in this season. We pray for the persecuted church and ask for your protection for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And we hold up to you our brothers and sisters in Christ in Kingston. We pray for all saints as they prepare to live life without the leadership of Jonathan Wilkes We pray for Kingsgate, for the Quakers, for every day, for the Methodist Church, for St. Raphael's. Lord, we pray. And we pray with our own burdens and concerns for the challenges and choices that await us in the work the week ahead. Lord, we pray. May we serve you each day. May we know you as our companion, step by step. Lord, we pray. Amen. So amazingly, I've already sent out the notices. There's a service in the building at 11:30. There's a service in the building at 5:00. Just to remind you that every day there are prayers at 10. Let me tell you about the format of that, just in case you're anxious. So what happens is one of the leaders prays, then we read the Bible, we talk about it, then we pray, and the whole thing is over. 20 minutes, definitely by half an hour. So don't think if I log in for that, I'm going to be trapped for the next 3 hours. That's not how it is. 10 minutes blast. During the summer holidays, we have a thing called Mini Mondays. The building, the Mayo Hall, is open 10 till 12 for free play. Some toys are put out. It might be useful for some people that you know. Suggest it to them. The challenge for August and September is that we're going to wait on the Lord and listen to what God is saying to us through the second Isaiah, which is, let's say, 40 to 66. And so the idea is through the working week, Monday to Saturday, you read a chapter, think about it, reflect about it. And if you've got anything, you send an email or you text it. And then I'm going to weave the responses and feed them back during September. So read it. And if it says, if you know one particular line hits you, send it. And then I'll weave it in and we'll go through 2 Isaiah again in September. And on behalf of all of us, a heartfelt thanks to those who have provided us with jokes during July. July's jocularity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And for some of you, the good news is it's over. And for others, it's a little tear in the eye. You know who you are. You know, come on. I'm going to send you a couple today. And I'm just going to finish with, I'm simple. One of the one-liners, which is, can you imagine how difficult it was for Jim Apple on his holidays in France? Big thanks to Vaughan and Janine, who have done the work in the background. Thanks to them. Come on. Thanks to them for all the material. And thanks for others of you who've sent things in as well. So I'm now going to dedicate our gifts of money, and then we're going to move to our Holy Communion. So let us pray. Lord God, we give you the ordinary things of life, food and drink and money. And we bring ourselves. Take us and our gifts of money to do your work in the world. Take this food and drink from our tables and feed us from your table with your love. And accept the praise we offer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we gather at this table, we remember that Jesus was born of Mary. He lived our common life on earth. He suffered and died for us, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And he is always present with us through the Holy Spirit. In his presence and in the company of all the people of God, past, present, and to come, we celebrate the Supper of the Lord. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. And hear the narrative of the institution of this feast as they are given by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do with me." In the same way, he took the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, and as Jesus did, so we offer our prayers of thanks. Let us pray. Amazing God, for the gift of grace that we enjoy daily, we thank you. For the privilege of being fed, we thank you. For the daily bread of life, we thank you. For the food that never perishes and the joy that never fades, we thank you. Give us the bread we need for each day. Give us the eternal bread that does not perish. Give us the bread of life. And then we thank you that being fed and being part of your body, we can be enabled to feed others so that they too may live. And we thank you for Jesus, who gave himself for us, who died on the cross that we might have life and have it in abundance. For his teaching, for his living, for his sacrifice, and for his glorious resurrection, and for the presence of the Spirit with us day by day, we thank you. Blessing and honor, glory and power belong to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. In the face of death, the Lord Jesus offered prayers of thanks, took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." "This is my blood," he said, shed for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. God, you are more gracious and surprising than I can understand. How else could it be that you choose me to be part of your body, the church? I look around at all those who are more talented and less weary than me, better read and more eloquent. Yet we thank you that you persist in calling each one of us by name, assuring us that we have gifts that we don't even know that we have, that you welcome our frailty, you incorporate all that we are into the work of your kingdom, where love and justice, peace and joy take root and flourish. So, Lord, we set aside our unbelief and our diffidence, and we praise you for calling each one of us to life and service and partnership with you. And today we thank you that you feed us at your table for your work. Thank you. Amen. So after this service today, there will of course be a chance for chat, conversation, and the final hymn is Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer.
Join to sing. Feed me.
So go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Amen.